Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to finish the section that we began last week. So I'm going to read from chapter 3, verse 7. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will that is permanent have glory. So of course, that section is about the glory of the gospel, how the gospel has so much more glory than the Old Covenant. The New Covenant has more glory than the Old Covenant. In fact, the new Covenant has so much glory it makes the Old Covenant look dull in comparison. It just doesn't have any glory compared to the New Covenant. Verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So in this section, we saw how the boldness that we have as Christians comes because of this new covenant, because of this transformation of glory. The heart is veiled. And the veil's purpose, as we saw last week, was to contain or block the glory of God. So when Moses stood in front of the people speaking the word of God, he would have no veil on his face. But when he spoke only of himself, he'd veil it up so that the people couldn't see the glory of God. That was the purpose of the veil. Then we saw that the veil over the heart of the Israelites was still blocking that glory of God from penetrating. And really, it's the glory of Christ that once the veil is removed, when the glory of Christ penetrates the heart, it actually transforms the heart, that there's a change within. The law conceals the heart. It not only blocks the glory of God from penetrating, it also blocks what's really there from coming out too. In other words, somebody can hide behind the law. You can do a lot of what the law says and outwardly look like the glory of God is shining off you. You can look like you're a good person if you do the law, while inside your heart can be quite evil. The law can reflect the glory of God off it without a transformation happening on the inside. So there's that concealment. What Paul says is when a person is truly transformed by the Spirit of God, when the glory of God penetrates to the heart, it changes the heart, and there's no need to hide. You don't need to hide behind the law or anything else, because suddenly what comes out of you, what is naturally you, what is the transformed you, is the glory of God. There's nothing to hide anymore. You don't have to hide behind the law. You don't have to pretend that you're something that you aren't. You truly are transformed. That's why we speak with boldness. That's why we don't need to cover anything up. Because the glory that we have is not a reflected glory, the glory of the law. It is a transformed glory. It's our own glory. The law doesn't transform people. It just leaves you as a reflector of someone else's glory, a reflector of God's glory. But when you come to Christ, you don't need the law anymore to reflect God's glory. You're actually transformed, and you shine a light of your own, a transformation. But that only happens through Christ, that we are transformed. It doesn't happen through the law. So this brings us to the last point and the conclusion of this section here. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what's his point in the section? His point in the section is very particular. It's very, very specific. He is talking against those who are criticizing him. There's these people in Corinth, remember, who don't like Paul, and they're trying to take over the Corinthian church and get rid of Paul's influence there. So Paul says in this section, making Christians follow the law is the real deceit. That's the deceit. That's why it follows that whole section about transformation. Does law transform you into the image of God? No. At best, law will reflect God's glory, but it will never transform you. So to make Christians follow and obey the law is deceiving them. It's telling them you will be like God if you do this law, when in reality it doesn't. It merely makes you reflect God's glory, but it doesn't change you. It doesn't transform you into His glory. That is why legalism is so bad. What does Paul have that Moses didn't have? He says here, I have a better ministry than Moses. I have a better privilege than Moses. I have a better message than Moses. I have grace rather than law. Everything in Paul's ministry was better than what Moses had. So he says, why do I need Moses? I mean, really, I have Christ. What do I need to give you Moses for? Regardless of what Paul faced from those that opposed him, he says, I don't lose heart. There's nothing that you can do to make me lose heart because I have Christ. I have this better message. So what does this have to do with the accusations against Paul that he's being deceitful? It was all about this. Paul never made Gentiles follow the Mosaic law. When he went to them with the message of the gospel, he never made them follow the law. He never did. That drove the Jewish believers crazy. He says, if he made them obey the law, what would he be doing? I'd be leaving them behind the veil. They'd be left with a veil over their hearts. They would never know the glory of Christ. Why doesn't he want the Gentiles to follow the law? Because he knew that the law never gave power to people to overcome sin. Didn't work for him. And he knew it wouldn't work for anybody else. He'd been there. He'd done that. Remember? When he lived under the law, fulfilling it as well as any Jew could, he had murder in his heart. Murder in his heart. He says he was deceived. He was cut off from God while thinking all the while that he knew him. He was merely reflecting God's glory by trying to practice this law. But the glory never shone in his heart. So Paul says, I'm not tricking anybody with this message of the gospel. I'm not offering people one thing and giving them another. He said, the message of grace that I give people is truly grace. It's not law hidden behind a promise of grace. Paul never changed the law of God into grace. God did that. It wasn't his doing. So what about those who do not believe Paul's gospel when he presents it? He says, it's not my fault. It's not my fault if they don't believe the gospel. The gospel is veiled because of unbelief in those who are perishing. It's because they won't believe. That's why it's veiled to them. Paul's not confusing the issue or making the gospel only something that the elite can understand or grasp, that it's this secret kind of message that only special people can know. He says they don't understand it because Satan blinds the heart. He blinds the mind. He veils the heart. So they've been blinded in their hearts. And that is what's preventing them from seeing the light. What is the light? The light is the gospel of the glory of Christ, the image of God. So anyone who can't see the glory of Christ reflected in those who are transformed by the gospel just reveal themselves to be blinded by Satan. When somebody looks at you, if you're truly in the kingdom, if you are truly being transformed into the image of Christ, if you're truly reflecting God's glory, and people can't see that in you, where's the problem? Is the problem with you? No, it's not. The problem's with them. If the glory of God is transforming you, and you're shining that glory out, the problem isn't with you. If they look at you, and they don't see Christ in you, the problem's not with you. Where's the problem? It's with them. Satan's blinding their minds, and the law is veiling their hearts. So Paul's role here to his accusers, they were accusing him of being deceitful and manipulating people. He says, no, I'm a servant. I proclaim Christ. He doesn't lord his position over them. He doesn't say, oh, I'm this apostle, therefore you must serve me. That's not what he was saying. It's to serve them, to guide them into truth. He wasn't going to force them. But the reason these other people came teaching was to proclaim themselves in order to gain converts, to serve them, to serve their ends. They desire to divide the Corinthians away from Paul so they can count them as their own. So why does Paul do all this? Very simple. Goes back to what I just told you. When somebody fails to see the glory of Christ in your heart, if it's truly there, the problem is with them. And how do we know that? Well, Paul describes this thing. It's because Paul has seen the light. Well, when did Paul see the light? On the road to Damascus. On the road to Damascus, Paul is blind in his mind, right? Satan's blinding his mind, and the law is veiling his heart. That's what's wrong with him. What does he see on the road to Damascus? What changes everything? He saw the glory of Christ. That is what he saw. We're talking. He saw this bright light. You know, he saw Christ. No! What he tells us here is he saw the glory of Christ. For the first time in his life, the glory of Christ penetrated his heart. That's what we just talked about last week, and I just summarized in the last section. It's when the glory of Christ penetrates the heart that there's the change. That's what it's all about. That is literally what happened on the Damascus Road. The light of Christ got into his heart. The veil was removed by the Spirit of God. And suddenly he saw things differently. As Paul believed in Christ, the blindness receded. The veil was removed. And so, because of that, he's forced to take this message to other people. And he won't take the message of the law because the law doesn't let you see the glory of Christ. As long as you're trapped behind the veil of the law, you cannot see the glory of Christ. You can't. So his desire is that others find the truth of Christ, the glory of Christ, the light of Christ. He says, I'll never lead anyone to the law because the law offers nothing compared to Christ. It's dull. It's incomplete. It does nothing for the person who has Christ. The gospel is the power of life and freedom and love. And the glory that we receive from Christ, his likeness, it's unfading and it transforms us. And it does not come through the law, but only through the Spirit. And that is why making Christians follow the law is a huge deceit. It's a lie. Anyone who ever tells the believer following the law will make you more like Christ is lying to you. It's lying to you. At best, following the law only reflects God's glory and it prevents the glory of Christ from penetrating your heart. So, if it's not the law that we follow, what is it that we follow to be transformed in the likeness of Christ? And what is the glory of Christ? His value system. That's right. Because the gospel of the kingdom, the value system of the kingdom, is more glorious because it more reveals, it more demonstrates the value system of God than the law. You have the law here. Does it reflect some of God's value system? Yes. But nowhere near the value system of the kingdom. The value system of the kingdom is sacrificial love for the benefit of others. You live that, get it into your heart, changes your heart, flows out of your heart. You have God's value system. You are transformed into His likeness. Do you need the law for anything at that point? No, you don't. There's nothing you need at that point. Because everything in God's value system, everything in the value system of the kingdom, fulfills the law, completes the law. You're never going to go back to the law and say, oh, there's something here in the law that Christ's value system was missing. Nothing. Nothing. That's why the Ten Commandments aren't repeated in the New Testament for you to do as law. They're merely there to show you that their purpose is fulfilled in obedience to the law of Christ, the value system of the kingdom. Any questions on that?